This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
And a very good afternoon to our Radio K Pulpit listeners. We're so excited to be here this afternoon. I'm Calvin.
And I'm Terry.
And this is Couples of Destiny. We are excited because we have a wonderful couple visiting us this afternoon. It's always wonderful when you have people with different abilities and talents and giftings from the Lord. And so we're just going to let them say hi and who they are this afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you. It's such a privilege to be here, myself and my wife, Kari. Kari, will you say hi?
Yeah. Good afternoon to all the listeners.
I want you to hear us a smooth voice. It's such a privilege to be here, and thank you so much for the time. And I really trust that the Lord will just give us divine revelation today to bless the viewers, keys to unlock certain things and realign things in their lives. So we're excited. I'm Anton Smith. My wife is Kari Smith. We are apostolic and prophetic leaders in Cape Town. We have a ministry called Kingdom GPS in the northern suburbs of Cape Town. And as the name is saying, Kingdom GPS is our ministry is very much flowing in the Issachar anointing, which is an anointing to interpret times and seasons of the Lord.
Right.
Very directional, very prophetic. And yeah, and I think the listeners would agree with me. This is absolutely anointing to be able to have in this time because nobody is quite sure where they're going.
Yes.
That is powerful. We need a GPS, and navigation is so important. We've seen ministries fail. We've seen marriages fail. We see so much failure in the world, and we need people like yourselves really just to give direction and just really be that eagle, have that sight, foresight, insight, all the sights we need this afternoon, and we're going to draw from you because you have all that and giftings, and so we're so excited. And the listeners out there, those on our Facebook, you're watching us live right now, just tune in, send us your comments, maybe you have some questions for our guests this afternoon, and we'd love to just hear what it is and how this is touching your life. We're going to go over to a quick song break, and then we're going to get into the meat of this afternoon, so stay with us.
From the Cape, for the Cape, and beyond, Cape Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m.
Welcome to our Cape Pulpit listeners this afternoon. We're so excited to have you once again. We have a special guests here, Anton and Kari Smith. They are a real blessing to South Africa and I believe the nations. Very apostolic and prophetic. And they're going to talk to us this afternoon. We've sort of like titled, we've themed this afternoon, this broadcast with Unlocking Deliverance and Purpose in Marriage. People don't like that word deliverance, but it's a reality. Jesus did it in the Word of God and the disciples as well. So we'll touch on that a little bit, but thank you for joining us this afternoon. We are so blessed to have you here. We're going to pose a few questions, and maybe from your answers, I might dig into that as well. So I might want you to elaborate a little bit more because I'm sure the listeners are keen to hear a lot from you. So there's a scripture I'd like to read before I ask you a few questions. This is in Ecclesiastes, and this is for the couples. Ecclesiastes, and we normally when I officiate weddings, one of my famous scriptures is Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift his fellow. But woe to him who is alone, and when he falls and has not another to lift him up. So wonderful that God put two together, and he's the third cord in a relationship. And we know that there are marriages that are suffering at this point, and they need God. They need God in their lives. So if I were to ask one of the questions this afternoon, why are marriages and families in such a battleground right now? Why is there this fight going on in marriages?
You know, I just to answer you, I think the season, the times that we are in, is the Lord is busy preparing Cape Town for revival. God has prepared Cape Town is key, and probably other areas, couples also, you know, are under attack. But the enemy knows that the strength and the power many times of the kingdom comes from the family unit. Mm. And that's why it goes for the soft targets. You know, I always tell Kari, you know, you're just as strong as your marriage. Mm. And you know, couples out there, if you had a fight with your wife or your husband in the morning, your whole day feels unsettled and you feel,
sure.
You know, just feel your emotions going on a roller coaster and you feel really unsettled in terms of what was said and what happened. And if your kids are under attack and your kids are attacked, that's the soft targets the enemy goes for. And I really believe in this season where the Lord is, we are in the kingdom age, which is a kingdom season of kingdom rule that we've moved into on a macro level. And that's why the earth is shaking. That's why there's such a lot of things happening. And God, I really feel, is busy preparing certain places and atmospheres, cities for revival and reformation and change. And I really feel revival starts in the family unit. Mm. And that is where it's the building blocks of our society. So that's why it's so important. That's why the enemy is targeting the family unit. What are you saying, Kari?
Yes, I actually agree with Anton because I believe that the enemy is focusing in on the families because if he can get the families to disconnect from one another, it will really cause you not to be able to focus on Jesus. Because if your heart is in turmoil and you're in so much distress and your day, you know, you think about fighting and all these kind of things, you can't focus on the things that God called you to do. And I believe this is the enemy is using distraction by issues and dramas and family drama to try to distract us from the assignment that we have to bring the kingdom of God into the kingdom of the, you know, into the world. And this is one of our greatest assignments. And this is why I believe the enemy is so after our families, after our relationships, after our marriages. And we really have to stand guard, especially as mothers and fathers, to guard over our marriages, to guard over our families, to guard over the units. Because like Anton said, I really believe that revival starts in the family unit first. We all want revival out there, but I believe the Lord is saying, what are you doing with the revival in your house? How are you bringing revival as a father and a mother? How are you displaying it to your children? Because your children will not be who you tell them to be, but they will become who you have been to them in the past season.
Yeah,
how you've imaged, how you've mirrored Jesus to them, how you've demonstrated Christ to them is how they will become one
That's
day.
That's right. We're actually very, very passionate about that, you know, especially with children. We as parents modeling life, modeling Christianity, modeling everything. Because they see what we do, they do what we do, they say what we say, everything we do, they act out and all of that. You know, I was so impressed. I was listening to one of your podcasts or something you had on your show, one of your social media platforms, and you were speaking about releasing something for the word for the year. I was listening to that one. Then, of course, for July, the month of July. And I was like, that is so in tune with where we are at, you know, because we were talking about shifting and making choices and all of that. And when I realized you on the same level, I'm like, wow, God, we are not confused. God is in this, you know.
Yes.
So when we're talking about revival starting and couples having challenges in marriages, you know, the enemy attacks that part because it's the strong part of a community, a family. However, there are couples that I know of, you know, that have challenges that they themselves probably need to go through deliverance. And I know you have a very strong deliverance prophetic ministry as well. So when we think about deliverance, people think about being a dramatic and all of that. But it's actually very, it's deeply personal, you know. So when we want to have revival, we need to start with us. Before we can even say, okay, my husband and I'm coming into agreement now for revival, I need to start and look at the plank in my eye, you know.
So I think that's such an interesting question. In essence, the leaders need to understand that deliverance is a spiritual transaction. It's not casting out demons and foam around the mouth and only. Deliverance, in essence, is a spiritual transaction. So if I do a repentance prayer and say, Lord, I'm sorry, God shuts the door, reverses things, and blocks the enemy from entering our lives to a certain area. That is deliverance in essence. You know, we're in a voice-activated kingdom. As we pray, as we repent, as we follow biblical protocol, we can very skillfully reverse some stuff that the enemy has used against us. So deliverance is not that bad. It could be very peaceful. And the Lord shifts things in the very quiet, and the Lord does it in the spiritual realm. I think as couples, you know, there's two things that's quite important in terms of getting deliverance and freedom. Two aspects. The one is deliverance, and the other one is inner healing. Now, deliverance firstly is dealing with things from your background, from your foundation. And we, part of our ministry is generational stuff. So we see many times there's couples in their generational lines, there've been a lot of divorce, a lot of covenant breaking. And, you know, the fact that you're born again doesn't mean those covenants or those things are annulled. You know, the blood of Jesus is paid for everything, but we have to apply what Christ have done. You've been, like Christ have died for all sinners to be saved, but are they all saved? No. We have to go to Christ yourself and apply and receive that free gift. So it's about the power of the application. So many times we see couples that battle in their marriage and with fighting and stuff like that. You know, there are powers behind the scenes that's operating through the family line that is, where there's a lot of covenant breaking and divorces and stuff like that, that really fights many times marriages and set things up where there's irritations and frustration, constant fighting, because the whole plan of the enemy is to, you know, they want this family to end up in divorce. And the other thing is inner healing that needs, that is crucial, where their soul wounds from the past. And if you don't deal with rejection and those things, those hurts can constantly cause us offenses in marriage. What are you saying, Kari?
I agree. I think that it's so important that when we are in a marriage, that we need to remember that every relationship, marriage or friendship, needs us to spend time with one another. But as we spend time with one another, you know, many times there are wounds that we received in our childhood that we've never dealt with, that suddenly, you know, the other person has the ability to press our buttons and the wrong things come out at the wrong time. And many times when that triggering effect happens, it just shows you that there's some undealt hurt in your heart, and that we need to, it's our responsibility to go before the Lord and say, Lord, will you help me? I need inner healing, because the enemy knows what is the soft targets in your life, and he will make sure that your partner constantly pushes that button so that he can keep you in a cycle of hurting one another, keep you in a cycle of feeling rejected. And when you are rejected, you hurt, and it becomes just a vicious cycle. Instead of praying together, we start destroying one another. And you see, we are, like Anton said, in a voice-activated kingdom. And I always say, we have a responsibility what comes out of our mouth. There's either an angel that stands next to you that writes down the words that you say to make sure that that happens, or there's a demon that's standing there writing down. And when we pray, we sometimes become very self-righteous and say, I am like this and I'm like that. But I'm saying, what legal right have you given during the day to the enemy to attack you? Because we have a responsibility what we say and before the Lord. And we have to, at all times, it doesn't matter where you are, display Christ in a way to our partners that the Lord can, that the enemy don't have any legal right to come and attack us. And this is why we need to deal with our soul wounds. We have to, because the enemy will constantly put his finger in there to keep us in a cycle of being wounded.
That's right. That's right. I mean, we're talking about that father wounds and mother wounds the other day, that people carry around trauma.
I mean this conversation is really heating up here, and I'm waiting for the listeners to send us your messages on our Facebook page, Radio K Pulpit, and also on our WhatsApp line, 0817291657. We're going to go over to a song break, but please stay tuned with us.
You're listening to K Pulpit 729 AM.
Radio K Pulpit this afternoon, and we're back with Prophet Anton and Kari Smith. They've really blessed us this afternoon in the first few minutes. And maybe Anton, you know, just back to you. We were talking a little bit earlier about marriage and issues in the marriage. You want to expand a little bit on that?
Yeah, sorry, just to end up before we go to more softer issues. Many times, because the enemy focus on the family unit as the target and on unity between couples and bring discord and trying to unsettle families in the family unit so they're not effective when they go out. That's the whole thing, you know, and that's the soft target that's really close to us. So the enemy knows what are our soft targets. And many times we talked about, Kari, the enemy comes and creates situations around us where the enemy seduces us. It's a seductive, it's a seducive spirit to be able to flare up, and when you have soul wounds, to start fighting triggerings, you know, through stuff in the atmosphere, affect your emotions. Some days you just feel really unsettled. And especially if you've got wounds from the past, you know, the enemy can just knows how to push your buttons and those prison triggers and those type of things. And when couples fight, we've seen that because the enemy takes advantage of our words, because words are really agreements, you know. And when they start fighting, they say things that they don't mean. Like, I want to divorce you and I want to take my stuff and go. It's done, you know. I can't do this. I'm out of here. And then and then when they patch things up, and they forget that what the enemy does, what we've seen in deliverance, the enemy uses the words and build a case file in the spirit. Mm. Those of you who know legal cases and stuff, he builds a case file in the spirit, and he takes those words and he attaches demonic spirits to it, and he takes your own words to use it against you. And he starts tearing your marriage covenant in the spirit because of words that you've spoken in a moment of weakness and meltdowns. And you know, I want to say to couples, rather when there's an issue, stop the verbal stuff. When you're angry and emotional, withdraw from the situation. Wait till you've cooled down. That's really working towards spiritual maturity. Mm-hmm. Re-engage in the conversation, yeah, because that's the only way you can actually come to a point where you can talk properly and say sorry for one another when the emotions are disconnected from the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As soon as those are intermingled, you say things you don't mean, and yes, people go really low, and you can never take back yes, some stuff that you have said.
Yes.
And wow. I think that perhaps I can just jump in there, Anton, yes, is that because we so programmed to just see the natural, we tend to forget in fights that there is a spiritual realm out there. And we live from the spirit before we live in the natural.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if I can quickly just use an example, when Jesus gave Peter a prophecy, Jesus said to him right at the beginning when they came together, Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, on you I want to build my church. You are the rock, and on you I want to build my church." That was a prophetic word that Jesus gave to Peter. And a little while later, Jesus said to him, "But Peter, you're going to deny me three times." And Peter said, "No, I will never do this, Jesus. Never. I love you. I love you. I'll never do this." And we all know just before Jesus was crucified, when he was standing in the courts before the Sanhedrin, actually three times, he denied Jesus until, like Jesus prophesied, a cock is going to crow, then you'll know. My prophetic word came to fulfillment, and three people came to ask Peter, "Do you know Jesus? Are you part of him?"
Yeah.
"No, I'm not. Yeah. No, I'm not." Three times. And then the cock crowed, and Peter burst out in tears because then he knew the prophetic word came into fulfillment.
Yeah.
Wow. But Jesus' word was still standing.
Correct.
"On you, I'm going to build my church." So Jesus knew he had to do something to shift the spiritual transaction of Peter's own words, because Jesus can't build the church on someone that denied him publicly.
Yeah.
So what did Jesus do? Three chapters later, after the resurrection, resurrection, Jesus came to him and said, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes." Then he said, "Then feed my sheep."
Yes.
"Peter, do you love me?" Three times.
Yes.
And after the third time, three times denied, Jesus three times reversed the spiritual transaction of his words to say, "Then feed my sheep.
Yeah.
Meaning that Jesus knew the impact that Peter's own words had over his prophetic destiny, but also for him to, for Jesus to do something with his life.
Correct.
And many times we think that if we can just say, "I'm sorry," it's more than enough. No, no, no. There's some spiritual stuff that has happened that we've given the enemy the legal right to block us, to stop us in our marriages, to stop our assignment as a couple.
Yeah.
And then we feel, "But Lord, have you forgotten about us?" But we have a responsibility.
Yeah.
The same way Jesus saw Peter and said, "I have to do something in order to reverse this thing so that the prophetic destiny of Peter's calling can come into fulfillment."
Wow.
Jesus had to step in.
Yeah,
so, and so maybe this is an encouragement to couples.
Right.
This is why we have to guard our mouths when we fight.
That's so
and
true.
I think deliberately, instead of saying forgive me, but go a step further to a deeper level to say, "Lord, we pull down these words that we have spoken.
Right,
we cancel, revoke, and reverse them, and reverse them into blessings. And I destroy the case file that the enemy has built up with my own words. I destroy it with the fire of God. And we bind and fire the demonic spirits of divorce that's already been assigned to erode our marriage."
Many times people come to us for counseling, you know, and when I pray for people, the Holy Spirit would show me a case file, and then I said, I can see that the divorce, literally, I see the divorce papers in the spirit. Then I'll ask them, how many times have you guys told one another that you want a divorce? They can't even think. I said, but now one prayer is not going to fix it because there's a case in the spirit against you guys. So we need to fix the things because we live from the spirit and then from the natural.
And then there's a dispute that's pie there. And then,
not guilty, not guilty.
Not guilty. That's so powerful. I mean, we dwelled on this a little bit. And if I go into the question, probably in about three minutes we've got for this one, is, you know, marriage with a mission. What happens when a couple fully aligns with God's purpose?
That's powerful. I mean, I can say from our lives that I've prayed for a wife for years when I was younger. I said to the Lord, I don't care, you know, I don't want any other relationship. I want the right spouse.
Yes.
Kari prayed and God connected us supernaturally. And from somebody that knows, a lot of people choose spouses, but they're not quite sure, you know, maybe 60%, 70% there. But I know from our background that the God has put us together.
Yes.
And that match in heaven, that's why we need to make sure that we get the right spouse. Even if you're older, even if you feel you're going to be on the shelf or whatever, you have to get the right spouse because there's somebody that God has chosen before the foundation of the earth to fit you like a glove. So don't go for second best. Don't compromise. Don't let the enemy push you in a corner to choose second best or things that are not in alignment, because things won't get right if you marry the wrong person and think, the rest will sort it out. And the couples have an assignment together. And when you marry the person God has placed with you, there's just the kingdom alliance and a unity that comes in that is powerful for kingdom purpose, because the gifts of the husband and wife many times complements one another, especially from an apostolic and prophetic viewpoint. So we can go into that later if we have time.
Yeah, maybe just if I can throw this in there. What if, the one part of the relationship, the partner is not serving God? They've made that. What do you do in those situations? How do you counsel those couples? I mean, we're saying we're praying for the right person, but this guy's, you know, off on the beaten track. So what do you do? How do you counsel?
The Bible, well, firstly, it's a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
Many times I see that it's a generational thing that blocks many times either the husband or wives. And normally it's the husbands that are the culprits, I see from our cultural group or whatever, where, they're not as, maybe it's because of religion in the background or an antichrist spirit somewhere in the background. So you see, sometimes undealt hurt is a big thing. And not trusting God, seeing God like you see your father and things. There could be many reasons. But I would say for spouses that has partners like that, first demonstrate through your lifestyle Christ. Don't whine and be like a dripping tap. Don't drag them to church against their will. Pray, because the Holy Spirit does the work. You are not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does the work. You pray and intercede, show the love of Christ, and God will send angels, and God will bring freedom and deliverance and start taking off the layers and bring them to a point where they are ripe and ready for the Holy Spirit to do. And, you know, it doesn't matter how hard your heart is, there's no hardness that God can't penetrate.
Yes, and Matthew said that the prayers of the righteous man availeth much, and many spouses will become righteous because of the prayers of the spouse. So, you know, even though in the natural, we should never key off the natural. You should look at this thing spiritually and see the demon behind it, you know, and pray not for the person, but the spirit behind them that tries to control them like a puppet on a string and cut them loose from the plans of the enemy and say, Lord, I prophesy that. And every day you prophesy, Job 22:22 say, that which we decree and declare shall be established so that God's light can go forth. So as we decree, we establish something for the angels to work with.
Right.
Our words have got power.
Right.
It's got creative power. And as we pray, as we decree, God has got the ability to, at any day, any moment, any time, to break in. He can do it. If he can give Nebuchadnezzar a dream, he can, in one moment, give your husband, your wife a dream. God can set them up in a way that you could never do by whining and moaning and groaning. Our greatest assignment is to pray, because nothing happens until there's a man that's willing to pray.
I love this topic. Really, really touching lives, I believe. Waiting to hear from the listeners online. And we're going to go over to a song break right now. Pamela, we're so excited. We're deep into this topic this afternoon, unlocking deliverance with purpose in marriage, and we've spoken about so many things, and we're just going to go a little bit deeper with Anton and Kari this afternoon. And please send us your questions. We'd love to hear from you. Maybe just another question, Anton and Kari, this afternoon. You've spoken so much about, even in the break time, we were speaking about people that have issues. They want deliverance, but there's still some strongholds, you know, that I need deliverance now, but they haven't dealt with the core stuff at the end of the day. And I think that is important this afternoon. People need to understand that.
Absolutely. I feel it's so important. And like we said, for those listeners who have just tuned in, deliverance is in essence a spiritual transaction.
Yeah.
So when we do repentance, God reverses things, there's deliverance, or when we deal with things. And people need to take responsibility over their spiritual health, and how, you know, God wants people to solely belongs to Him, and get all the junk and all the wrong alignments out of your life, and compromise out of your life. We see from the Bible that our deliverance is linked to our spiritual growth. That's how God designed us, you know, and that's like the Israelites went into the promised land little by little. So God says, you know, as you grow this much, I'll open up certain areas that needs deliverance and healing or whatever, and once you've mastered it, it'll open up more levels. And that's why it works like an onion. That's why many times God takes us in that process. So if you don't grow spiritually, you know, you won't properly deal with all of your hurts. And it has to do a lot with also your lifestyle. We always say your lifestyle must sustain your deliverance.
Yeah.
So you can come to me and say, oh, please, Anton and Kari, deliver me, you know. I say, well, if your lifestyle is not up to the level where you are in alignment with God, you pursue God actively, and you are really focusing on holiness and consecration, then I'm not doing you a favor by doing deliverance. Then those things come seven times stronger back. So it's not a quick fix or a magic wand, if I can say it like that.
Powerful. If there's a question I can ask also this afternoon, is, you know, regional revival through families. Some people don't see their home as a place of revival. Can you speak to that?
Oh, it's so crucial. You know, the concept of building altars to the Lord is a concept that is really on the rise, and it's spiritual technology that God started, and God brought it into the Bible. And building an altar was a contact point between heaven and earth. And God started from the beginning of the Bible with that, right through to the New Testament. And the enemy came to hijack this concept and technology and copy that. But our focus is, we have to build a spiritual altar in our family, in our houses, you know, a family altar. You know, I pray every morning, Kari prays every morning. We build our own prayer altar where you have quiet time every morning and spend time with the Lord, which is crucial in this season. Crucial. No more business as usual. We have to keep the fire on our personal prayer altars burning. Otherwise, we're not going to make it in this season of Isaiah 63 season of darkness coming into the earth, covering the earth, darkness over people. We must really be in a place where the fire is burning on our altar. So we have to build altars in our house. And dads and the fathers in the family, doesn't matter if you're less spiritual or whatever, you are the king and the priest and the prophet of your home. That's already been an assignment and a title and a mantle that God has given you. Doesn't mean if you feel, oh, my wife is more spiritual, I don't qualify, I don't feel like it. It's not about feelings in this season. And I wanted to speak to dads. Rise up on that place and do some activities at night. Tell the kids and everybody, let's eat together as a family at the table. Let's share about your day. Now, nobody's eating in their room on social media. Get connection first. Read something out of the Bible, or share a Bible story, or ask them what miracles have God done for you today, so that you can create an atmosphere where the kids are being forced to say, God did this for my wife. Even small miracles, you know. Take communion together as a family, you know, and so you build your prayer altar as a family together, and that's where the Holy Spirit can come, feel invited, come to meet the family. Maybe you can, that's what we've done with our kids, Kari.
And perhaps I can also just say that many times, you know, I believe for myself that God's not going to ask me one day, Kari, what did you do to Samaria and Judea? He's going to ask me, what did you do to Jerusalem? What did you do to those that I've entrusted to your womb? How will you Christ to them? Because that's first and foremost my number one responsibility. And that's why right from the beginning of our ministry, we said we don't minister in evenings, we don't minister over weekends, because that's family time. And if we're not going to set the example of family time, we're going to end up having children that resents God, resents the ministry, because they've taken my parents away. And we felt that it's important that we demonstrate how it's supposed to be, how mm-hmm. we feel the Holy Spirit said. And everyone's got their own journey, but I'm talking about us as a family.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how important it was right from the start that we told the kids and we showed and demonstrated holiness, consecration, and living a lifestyle of experiencing the angels, experiencing Jesus. And this doesn't mean that we are in a holy huddle, not having normal issues, not having normal drama, school issues, school stuff. Yeah. We're a normal family, but we had to learn how to navigate ourselves through the process and growing up in the worldly situation, in the world, yeah. but still keeping Jesus number one in
that's
our lifestyle.
Right. Wow. That's right.
You know,
yeah.
my child, when my mm-hmm. one of my children, I'm so sorry, mm-hmm. was at school. One of she was about 15 years old, and because we've got a culture of miracles, where we say to the kids every night, tell us what happened today. What miracle did Jesus do? You know, sometimes it would just be mom, someone smiled at me, but most of the times we made them aware that miracles happen every day. Mm. And today there's
celebrate even small things that God does for you.
And right. today there's so many people that's like, what? Miracles, does it still happen?
Mm. Yeah.
And my daughter was at school and we were praying for something and God came through for us and she shared it in her classroom. And the teacher told her, she said, she needs to sit down because miracles don't happen. She says, ma'am, I'm sorry. I don't know in what circles you hang out, but in the circles I hang out, there's miracles every single day. And this exactly. is in a Christian school.
Wow.
So, and I'm saying, Holy Spirit, we need to do something because my responsibility is to that my children walk double in what I'm carrying yes. so Amen. That they can change and shift the
Correct.
Areas that they are in. Mm. They need Lawrence. To shift and bring the glory of Jesus into those areas mm-hmm. and say that True. Jesus is alive in everything they do.
And it's the same yesterday, today,
yes,
forever.
It hasn't changed.
No, I agree completely. We had our grandkids over last week, and they were playing on their Xbox or whatever the thing is.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I looked at this and I said, let me see what else we can do. So the younger one comes and sits next to me and he says, Nana, can we watch something on YouTube? Because they're playing it and they're not giving me a chance. I said, listen, Joel, don't worry about them. Let's find something. And we go to YouTube. And I said, let's find. And I saw an animated thing of the book of Elijah.
Mm.
And we started watching this. And so I knew I'm not going to say anything to Adam and Scott. They're playing their games on the laptop there and everything. And we're watching. And suddenly I'm throwing my eyes on their side and the two of them put their tools down and they're looking at the TV.
Mm. Wow.
Because this is so interesting. Although it's AI generated, I don't know if you've ever seen them. They got it in them. And so amazing that I had a little workbook from the kids' church lying on my table next to me about the prophet Elijah.
Oh, wow.
And we had this entire discussion about Elijah. So they are not fully aware of who he is. So we need to use moments like that. You know, seize the moment to bring them into that space. Mm. That
and you gave them an impartation just there and there.
In
and
that moment. Like,
parents should actually, you know, just put their tiredness aside and selfishness and me, myself, and I aside and just start building on that family altar because God wants to come with fire on that altar.
Absolutely.
Revival is going to come in the family unit in this season.
For sure. And I do believe that fathers need to, like you said earlier, they need to set that altar. I mean, they're not just homeowners. I believe that they are the gatekeepers.
Oh, for sure.
You know, God called them as gatekeepers, and they need to be the gatekeeper for their family.
Mm.
You know, I woke up at 2 o'clock this morning. I'm like, why at 2 o'clock, Lord? 3 o'clock is normally the hour, watch hour. But eventually I said, whatever it is, it's also a revelatory hour. Let me just pray anyway. And I started praying. And I thought, you know what? We can limit ourselves or put ourselves in a box. And say, okay, no, it must be done. You know, God is not...
He's outside of the box.
Exactly. Yeah. So when you feel it, when you see it, when you sense it, you seize the opportunity and be that dynamic for
so
God. And,
powerful.
You know, the one thing that you spoke about early on, and it maybe reminded me about something about how we as children of God have the authority to evict the enemy.
Yes.
You know, many people, there may be somebody listening on the replay or listening right now will say, what is all of this demon stuff that they're talking about and deliverance. It might be the first time for them listening to this. You know, I mean, I like the scripture in Psalm 107 verse 4. It says that he brought them out of darkness and into the... And
marvelous.
He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in
powerful.
Pieces.
So
you know?
Yeah.
That's how powerful God is. And all he wants for us to do is just to say, God, we can evict the enemy. So I use your word.
And passivity really brings, the Bible says when we were sleeping, the enemy came to sow tares.
Mm.
So sleeping is metaphorically for passivity, doing my own thing. I'm so busy with work, my kids, just give them money and, you know, let them keep themselves busy, you know,
give them the
iPad or whatever. Mm. While you were sleeping, passivity, the enemy comes in and sow tares. And so you mustn't be upset when some stuff is happening, you know, with that later.
You need to be vigilant.
Mm. Yeah.
It is so powerful what you're sharing this afternoon, and I trust that our listeners are listening. We went through three segments talking about the various aspects, you know, about the marriage, about raising children, about deliverance, and we really would love to hear from you this afternoon. If this has touched your life, send us a message on Facebook or via WhatsApp, 0817291657. We're going to go over to a song break, and when we come back, we're going to ask them to pray for us. Corrie and Anton, just pray for the listeners when we come back. I really believe there are families that need prayer. As you mentioned, the family altars, they've maybe not been doing it, but to reach out to them.
So I also believe that there's an atmosphere shift. Especially in this time, like you said, as darkness are covering over the earth and over people in lives and marriages, especially relationships, individuals trying to tear people apart, and children coming up against a parent and vice versa. Yeah. You know, but God says, I will return the heart of the father to the children, and vice versa.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think this is so important. I believe that there's a prophetic word that is inside of one of us here this afternoon that is going to come out, and you can release that what the Lord has put in your heart for the listeners today.
We're having an awesome discussion, and it's time to almost say goodbye, but we're going to ask our guests this afternoon. Anton and Corrie, we had such a deep discussion this afternoon on really these matters in marriage and deliverance, and we just spoke about so much. But we want you to pray for families out there that are struggling, that are challenged in their relationships. You and I, for the men as well, you know, at the end of the day, the husbands of the home, the fathers, their position, everything. As the Spirit of the Lord leads you, we're going to ask you just to pray over those families right now.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah.
You can go ahead.
Are we ready?
Yes.
Maybe our listeners can just stand in unity and agreement with the prayers. You know, there's no distance in the Spirit. And as we come and link our faith and our shields, linking shields of faith with you today, we really trust for a powerful release of angelic reinforcements of the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And I know there's many ladies and many husbands out there that is prayed incredible lot of prayers in this season over their family and over their husbands and wives, their kids, and they have not seen the fruit of that. I want to encourage you today as we pray that this is a time of the tipping of the bowls. This is a time of harvest where God is bringing them in. This is a set time. God says there's a set time if you don't give up and become weary. So I want to encourage you today. Don't allow hope deferred and hopelessness to take you off your prayer time and the fire of your prayers. Keep on pushing, for there is a time and a moment God breaks in, because it's the Holy Spirit that does it. So Father, we just come today in unity and agreement with our listeners, and we stand in agreement even in this place today, Father, and we just want to push back the gates of hell over our families in Cape Town.
Yes.
Father, we pray for this, for the sake of revival. I release a special grace over your kingdom families, over families in this place, Lord. And I cancel every assignment of darkness, Lord, over families, Lord, to cancel, to shipwreck families, to shipwreck marriages, every assignment that is caused by stress and fear, financial stress, economical stress, all the pressures that's coming out, Father, from the natural realm and in the spiritual climate we find ourselves in. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that those pressures, Lord, will not come and be able to destroy marriages. I destroy every trap and snare of the enemy, Lord, that has come, Father, to bring a demonic harvest on families and on marriages. Lord, I ask for mercy. Lord, I cry out for special grace over families today. Lord, I'm asking, Lord, that where some families, Father, on the enemy's radar, to scatter them, to break them up and destroy the destinies and the callings of the kids through the hurt and just have a destructive effect. I cancel that in the spirit. Father, I pray, Lord, that the bowls will tip today on behalf of those, Lord, the prayer bowls that are full of prayers, of prayers of faithful spouses, of faithful saints, prayers of the saints. saints, husbands and wives, even generational prayers of grandmothers and grandfathers, Lord, with the synergy of the ages, that you're coming, Father, and because those people might be dead, but their prayers aren't dead, Lord, that you're bringing forth all those prayers, Lord, that they fill the bowls, and I prophesy that there will be a tipping of the bowls, where your Spirit of God will intervene in families, Lord. Jesus. Come and shift things over husband's life. Come and shift things over the wives. Come and shift and break demonic structures and systems into perverse structures in families where the wife is on top and the husband is nowhere to be seen, Father, and even spiritually unequally yoked. Father, we ask, Father, that you come and realign and readjust that in the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, bring divine alignment by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the year of divine grace. This is a year of double grace. This is a year of the amping up of the power of the Holy Spirit to shift families from impossibility to possibility. Lord, I command every mountain in the way of families to come down in the name of Jesus. Every mountain of impossibility, I pray, Father, because of the prayers of the saints, that you'll come down sovereignly and supernaturally and bring down the mountain of divorce. That you bring down every mountain, Lord, that is blocking families and coming into to kill, steal, and destroy. We cancel that assignment, Lord, in the name of Jesus over families.
Amen. And Father, I pray today, Lord God, that first of all, that you will release angels, Father God, to bring an awakening over the hearts of the husbands, Father God, and the families, Father. Just bring an awakening. Awaken their hearts, Father, to respond to the love of Jesus, Father. I pray today, Lord, that you will come and visit every family that cries out to you, Father. You say in your word, when you call on me in Psalms 51, verse 15, that I will answer you. Lord, that you'll answer people's prayers, that you'll answer them. And I feel that I've got a prophetic word for a lady that your husband walked out on you, and I see three little children. And I feel that the Lord is saying, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep pushing. And I feel that the enemy has been fighting you. This is a generational battle that you've been fighting because his father walked out on his mother. So in the name of Jesus, I stand in agreement with you today, and we cancel the plan of the enemy to cause another cycle and another family to be scattered with divorce. But we ask today, Lord, that your angels of reconciliation will come, and Lord, that reconciliation will come back to them. Lord, I pray now that you'll break the deadlock over the fight in the name of Jesus. Every deadlock situation, we want to dismantle it today by the blood of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you now that strength will fill this lady's bones again. And do not allow the enemy to bring a spirit of complacency and depression upon her, Lord, that she's not able to pray. But Lord, that your Holy Spirit will activate her to pray, Lord. And we stand, Father, with her today. And we call her husband back. And we pray for reconciliation, Lord, and that she'll be able to come back and give back a full testimony of the goodness and the kindness and the mercy of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for this now in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. If these people and couples out there that you feel this is your similar situation, grab this word by faith in the Spirit for you as well, and let the Lord come and intervene.
Thank you. We just want to thank you guys this afternoon. Such a blessing. Time is always too short. We're going to get you guys back. Amen. We love you guys, and we just know that listeners have been touched. I think our Facebook is just a bit slow today, but I believe people are giving comments. So when you go back, you'll see all the views and people's comments. So we're really encouraged. We're going to go out this afternoon with a song by Bernice Roberts, saying Forever, and we're going to say bye-bye until
next
week.
Bye, everyone. Bye, listeners.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.